Cindy Darnell, sex therapist in the house.
Hello, good afternoon. It's such a glorious day.
Oh, what a glorious
day. It is so beautiful today. Gorgeous outside,
isn't it?
Like you, you're beautiful
today. Look at you. Hey, when we were playing that song just then, How Bizarre, which was our pep in your step, you were sort of shaking your shoulder.
Yeah,
21 years.
I can't believe it.
You remember?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that's like a whole adult ago. It's an entire lifetime. Somebody has who was born then can drink and smoke and do all kinds of things. They can vote. That's such a it's a remarkably long time ago. Yet it also feels to me it feels like maybe 5 years ago.
A fascinating thing. A chap called Bill, who manages Paul Kelly, will be our guest in here later on today. Also managed that band at the time. I remember, you know, the diversity of career that one can have in the Australian, you know, music crew. Look, there's a lot of things that we don't know about a lot of people, Cindy, and I dare say if we're amongst our colleagues or our friends and family, people we might know very well, we still may not be aware that there is probably amongst us people who actually don't enjoy sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I hear on Sexy Time, that's mm-hmm. what we talk about.
Yeah, yeah. That is what we talk about.
So you get letters sometimes from mm-hmm. people with questions like, I don't like sex, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, well, that's always the implication, isn't it? That it's almost like the default is that everybody loves sex and everybody wants to have loads of sex all the time. And then for the folks who don't feel like that, which, you know, there's a significant number of folks. I don't have any actual statistics. It is actually hard for us to gather statistical data about sex simply because a lot of folks don't necessarily tell the truth, and I don't want to say people are lying, but people feel a lot of shame around this stuff. So they tend to withhold information and they'll just go along with things, especially in social situations, to say, you know, and laughing at the sexy jokes, when actually their experience within them feels really isolated. And the truth is, they're not alone. Lots and lots and lots of people have lots and lots of different problems with different kinds of sex things. And today's one that we're going to talk about is the enjoyment of sex. So mm-hmm. For listeners who may feel like, oh, gosh, that's me, you're not alone. You're really, really not alone.
There's a real difference. I believe there's a difference between identifying as asexual
mm-hmm.
and being someone who identifies as not enjoying sex. There is a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Explain the different terms.
Okay, so asexuality. The research again about asexuality at this stage is very, very limited. We need to remember that sexology as a discipline is really only about 50 or 60 years old. So
we are only just
scratching the surface of our knowledge of human sexuality.
It's pretty cool to think about, though, Cindy, this conversation that we're having now, even 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, really.
Would have not really happened in any detail.
And now it is, and that's good. And I'm looking forward to seeing how things are in 10 and 20 years from now. So asexuality, what we've learned from the research is there are some folks who just have no sexual attraction to any gender. Now, that's not to say necessarily that those folks don't enjoy sex. They may enjoy masturbation. They may enjoy different kinds of visual media, for example. And that certainly doesn't mean that they don't enjoy intimacy and that they don't enjoy relationships and connection. It's just that sex in the conventional sense that we talk about it, partnered sex, mm-hmm. is not necessarily their thing, but they still are open to relationships.
Just for the sake of radio, when you say in conventional way, we're talking about one thing being inside another thing.
Yep. Yes, although probably
it's about as technical as I've
You know, pants off sex.
Right, okay, good. That's good. That's nice.
To be more frank about it. Because not everybody likes to stick one bit into another bit, everybody has the bits to stick.
That's true. So we're talking about this, again, it brings us back to the nuance of when someone's saying, I don't enjoy sex, it could be they don't enjoy a particular aspect of sex.
That's exactly right, Claire, because now, not enjoying sex, when I meet somebody either in who writes me a letter or a client face-to-face who says, you know, some variation on I don't like sex or I don't enjoy sex, you know, my first question is always, what do you mean by sex?
Yes.
Because the default tends to be, particularly for heterosexuals, penis in vagina intercourse.
Oh, you said it. You said it there. That was it.
That's the one. Everybody defaults to that. Yes. And there's a gazillion reasons why, and I don't necessarily want to go into those now, except that when we default to one thing, it's like saying, oh, I don't like food. I'm like, really? You don't like curry? You don't like salad? You don't like pizza? You don't like cabbage? You know, there's so many different things. Or saying, I don't like movies.
It can make people feel very helpless if they have the feeling, though, that...
Really? But we have such a limited language about this. So when folks say, you know, I don't like sex, it does land as the equivalent of saying, I don't like movies, or I don't like food, or I don't like... you know, transport. There are so many different things that we can do that we can help break that filter down. And so part of these, I think, very useful public conversations are going, okay, so if, you know, let's shorten it to PIV sex. If PIV sex is not your cup of tea, which for a lot of women in particular, it's not their cup of tea. And that is completely normal. I want to reassure people that is completely normal, that if you're not getting a kick out of PIV sex, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. But there's loads and loads and loads of other things you can do, which mean that if you don't like your meat and potatoes, you might like a stir fry. But part of that is being able to talk about your culinary conquest.
I'm loving this.
How many metaphors can I fit into one conversation?
This is wonderful. Cindy Darnell, sex therapist, is with us now. We're talking about a quite common but very under-discussed phenomenon of people who don't particularly like sex and don't know how to articulate that and don't know what's wrong with them. And Cindy's really helping us to normalise that and also start a conversation. You might have a question, and this might be a sensitive topic for you. Feel free to make up a name if you like, but give us a call. You can ask Cindy anything. 1300.
You really can.
222-774, because she's heard it all before. Give us a buzz. 1300-222-774 if you have a question for our sex therapist, Cindy Darnell. Or you can text as well, 043-7774-774. Cindy, we'll go back to sort of explaining the phenomenon a little. A text here from Demelza might give us a bit of insight. Ever since my husband cheated on me with his first love, I don't enjoy it anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's a circumstance where someone
very common
has enjoyed sex and now doesn't because of trauma.
Yeah. So what that tells us is that sex for a lot of people, and this is not especially gender specific, this is a broader thing. Mm-hmm. Sex for a lot of people can be very contextual. Enjoyment of sex can be very contextual.
There's a clue.
So for this person who whose husband had an affair and that she's noticed a change in her ability to enjoy sex, would suggest to me that part of her context for sex is about love and intimacy. Now, that's not true for everybody, but it sounds like it's true for her. And so when love and intimacy becomes challenged, or when it becomes in some way reduced or minimized because of something like this, a transgression without consent, what that can do is shut down our inclination to want to feel close, to want to be able to give ourselves over to the experience. And so while the body may be physically going through the motions, we're not really present. We're not really there because our mind is thinking about something else, or our heart is breaking, or we are, you know, feeling angry and resentful and all these other complex things which really sit in contrast with having a good time. And so it makes perfect sense to me why a situation like that can affect our ability to enjoy sex in the present. How do we get through this? I mean, I am a therapist. I am going to say that therapy is helpful, but I really think it is helpful. Being able to talk through the internal conflicts, being able to talk through our emotions around what's happened and how we feel about it, in order to be able to give us an opportunity to move through it and be able to get back to the place that we want to get to, if indeed we want to, or maybe we don't want to. Maybe we're like, actually, no, you know, stick it up your jumper. I'm cranky with you. So
Cindy Darnell's in the house with us. She's a sex therapist. You can keep your calls coming if you'd like to ask Cindy a question, particularly about this sensitive topic, which is sex. 1300 222 774, the number to call, or 0437 774 774, the number to text. Cindy, I read somewhere quite recently that there's actually a benchmark for deciding whether or not your marriage is, quote unquote, sexless.
Mm-hmm.
Sexless. Mm. I said list, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Okay, and it said that, and I think it was, I'm not going to quote where it's from because I don't know for sure, but you guys, you would have read this too. It was quite a big article. It said that if you are having sex less than 10 times a year, it was the age actually, if mm-hmm. you're having sex less than 10 times a year, you're therefore, your marriage is therefore termed sexless.
Mm.
Now, what do you think about?
I think that's fooey.
Fooey, fooey, fooey.
Fooey, fooey, fooey.
Tell me more.
Because the frequency of sex does not give any indication as to the quality of sex that we're having.
Or connection in between.
The connection, the meaning. And also, again, how do we define sex? Not having sex 10 times a year or having sex only 10 times a year, I mean, that to me raises loads of questions like, you know, what kind of sex? Is it pants on, pants off? What else is happening in between? What else is going on in the relationship? Do the partners even live in the same city? Mm-hmm. Like what? There are so many variables there that numbers like that, I think they only serve to shut conversations down rather than open conversations up. And when it comes to sex, if we are not inherently, eternally curious, we're kind of letting ourselves down a little bit, I think.
It's hard to know where to start a conversation.
Yeah.
If you are in a partnership
mm-hmm.
and in actual fact you're not enjoying yourself.
Yep.
Again, as always, can you give our listeners some advice yeah. about how to start that conversation?
Look, it's really tricky because we're not very good as a culture at talking about sex, and anything that is perceived as a criticism
mm-hmm.
Can often feel like it's going to shut the conversation down. What can be really helpful is to be able to frame it in such a way that you're talking about it because you want for things to be better. You want for the connection to be more robust. You want to be able to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Framing it in such a way that it's useful. It's being used as a glue to yeah, help right. enhance the relationship rather than a criticism of, like, you know, you're crap. That's not what someone is saying when they're saying, I would like for our mm-hmm. sex life to be different, or I would like for you to touch me longer, or I really love it when you touch me like this, or remember that time that we had our holiday in Thailand mm. and we did this and this.
Do you remember
why
that
don't we try that again?
The feather.
Yes.
That was lovely. That was a lovely. Cindy Donnell, we're going to get to your calls in just a moment, by the way, but Cindy, does it matter, like, if you really don't mind, if you're actually not fussed about whether you like sex or not, mm. if you just like your partner and mm. you actually enjoy that they enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
is that okay?
I think that's perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfectly okay.
Cheryl from Moorabbin just wanted to share something with us. Hello.
Hello, Claire. I missed the pep in your step. I was getting ready to go out.
Oh.
I wanted to say that I'm 65 and I'm disabled. And I'm a large person,
mm.
but that has not stopped people wanting to engage with me.
Mm, excellent.
Mm. However, there is no difference in my feeling about sex than there was when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And only then did I really enjoy it. I didn't before that because of a number of things,
mm.
child abuse and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say is that I don't think that, I know that sometimes just pleasing a partner pleases me.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I think...
Sorry, go on.
You know, a lot of people are unwilling to do that, to help their partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may not feel like engaging in the whole Nonya, but there are things.
That's true. And I think, you know, what I'm hearing from what you're saying there is that making sure that pleasure is sort of front and center, and even if it's not your own, that you're getting some sort of pleasure out of it, seeing your partner happy. If that brings you happiness, then that's a perfectly good reason to have sex.
Beautiful point, Cheryl. Thank you so much. Paul's waiting to ask a question now from Dandenong. Paul, I've got you right here along with Cindy. You had a question. Hi.
Yeah, hi Cindy. I'm a 35-year-old man, and I've been married to my wife for about 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And I think it's safe to say that we haven't had any kind of intercourse for about 18 months now.
Mm-hmm.
She, in my opinion, she's very low libido. She doesn't seem to have a sex drive at all. I have a typically healthy sex drive.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's happened is it just caused a lot of bitterness, especially on my part.
It's really common when partners have a desire discrepancy is the clinical term, but it's like, you know, a mismatched libido when one wants it more than the other. This is extremely common. I think I would say the vast majority of couples will experience something like this, and often what can happen is that the onus is placed on the lower desiring partner to do the changing, while the higher desiring partner feels sometimes justified in their position. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that that's what's happening with you, but for the broader conversation for folks listening, it's important that we consider how we frame this, because in a relationship, it's a two-way street. So for you, I recognize that her libido's dropped off, as you're saying. One of the things you might like to suggest to her, if she's open to talking about sex, would be to find out or to reflect on when sex was good between you, what kinds of things did she enjoy from a physical perspective or even from a contextual perspective. So does she like it when the house is tidy? Does she like it when the kids are away and asleep? Does she like it when you're not even in your own house, if you're in somewhere else, you know, if you're in a hotel or you're on holiday? Mm-hmm. What kinds of things help her reduce her inhibitions, let's say, to create the possibility for sex to happen? These are the sorts of conversations that might be helpful for you to have, to do a little bit of detective work to see if she's willing to discuss those kinds of things.
Paul, I can tell from the text line too that you're not alone in your question. There's a lot of people asking a similar question. Is that helpful?
I think so. I think like any kind of issue, it's quite complex and multifaceted.
Always.
I mean, I think the proliferation of pornography has definitely created unrealistic expectations, especially amongst men. And I think a little bit of it stems from the viewing of pornography and, I guess, feeling betrayed. And
I think it's also our inability to have useful and meaningful conversations, even whether the porn is a thing or it's not a thing. Our inability to be able to talk about sex between our lovers and ourselves is a really big hindrance to getting past it. So whether there's problems with porn or not, if we have enough confidence in our ability to talk about these things, we can usually overcome a lot of that ourselves.
Great points. Thanks, Paul. Thank you so much for calling. Paul of Dandenong. Hopefully that's helpful. I'm moving on to text now because Paul Kelly's about to come in, and I want to make the very most of our conversation with Ms. Darnell. Here we go. Just a couple of quick ones. You could yes or no this. Curious, do women really enjoy going down on a man?
Some do.
Okay, good. Just separated from a 20-year relationship. In that relationship, I really did lose interest in sex. Will it come back?
Maybe. Again, it really, really depends on the context. Getting bored, like with anything that you do that's great, you know, listening to the same song every day, eating the same meal every day, eventually, if you do the same thing in the same context, you're going to get bored. The trick to keeping spark alive is variety.
Jenny from Sunshine, what about those who would like a relationship but actually just don't like physical intimacy? No physical intimacy, not even kissing.
Mm-hmm. So that could be somebody with characteristics similar to what we were describing around the asexuality. Mm-hmm. It makes it more difficult in our society because we are a society that tends to associate love and sex very much. However, as time goes on, there are going to be opportunities for people who want one thing or the other thing more. And it might be helpful to be using engaging dating apps and dating sites that are specifically for, that are a bit more emotionally focused rather than hookup focused, to see if there are people that way. And also different asexuality networks might provide social events where you can meet other folks similar to
you. So many more texts. Here we go. Common one. How do I get my groove back? We have a toddler. I feel like we could count the number of times we've had sex in the past 2 to 3 years on both hands. Look, that's a common discussion.
It's very, very common. Look, having a little one around, you know, you might want to cut yourself a little bit of slack with that and just go, jeepers, you know, things are a little bit tough right now. On the other side, if you're really ready to get back into it, you've got to make it a priority. That's the main thing.
You got to put on a bit of Bon Jovi, keep the faith, and give it a crack.
Wow.
Look, it's been wonderful to have this conversation. There's a lot of interest in it. And thank you for shedding some light on it for us, Cindy.
Always Dunnell. A pleasure. Always a pleasure, my darling.
It's a resource that you might enjoy,
cindydunnell.com.
Lots of articles on there. In fact, this whole discussion was based on one of your articles, Cindy. So thank you again.
Pleasure.